Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. Well, Julio, here we are again. It's another Thursday night.
No, good evening, my friend. It's not just another Thursday night.
No, it's not.
It's been a busy day for...
It's been a busy day.
That's
well,
right.
You got to think about it. Chiefs aren't practicing, right? It's their day off. The Royals have no game. But yet, everything is hitting the fan.
Way to maximize their exposure, huh?
I mean, we have football starting in a bit in Canton, Ohio, the Hall of Fame game. That's right. Football on Thursday nights from now until January 6th.
Feeling it, Bank. I'm feeling it tonight.
I mean, football officially starts tonight. Actually, the next Thursday is January 15th. January 15th is the last Thursday without football. So all the way till mid-January from now on. I mean, football's back. We had college football in less than a month. August 23rd. Farmageddon in
news.
Dublin, Ireland.
That's not the big news today.
It's not the big news. The big news is...
Lots of big news-ish.
It's not Terry McLaurin won the trade, although it's pretty big news. He's got, what, five, six straight 1,000-yard years, wants a trade now from Washington.
Not going to get traded, but fine.
He's not going to be traded. But the big news is Major League Baseball trade deadline. 5 o'clock hits. And the Royals, man. Your Royals were active.
How about them Royals, huh?
Your Royals, my Royals, this town's Royals. 96.5 The Fan, home of the Kansas City Royals, home of the Kansas City Chiefs. Things got good, and you know what, Julio? One thing I want to talk about is when they, I think kind of the tip of this was signing Lugo to an extension and not trading him, not waving that white flag. Many people wanted, it kept being, what are you going to get for Lugo? Who are you going to get? Well, the problem is you're in the wild card chase. You're in the wild card chase, and you're about to wave the white flag. Fans didn't want it. Players didn't want it. I even just watching Vinny talk about Seth, you know, pitching on the road, and they hope to see him pitch again for the Royals and all this. That guy meant a lot to that clubhouse, man. You don't want to piss them off, but they didn't. But John Sherman's been paying, and you signed Lugo, and he's not going anywhere. They're not waving any white flags. So trade deadline, they do what they could. They do what they could. They have to get arms because Bubich is down. Lorenzen's banged up now. Don't know when Cole Reagans is coming back, maybe September. But you had to find pitchers. You could say, Rob made a great example of that. Like a Michael Lorenzen, although I feel like they got him better. I think they got him better. But the Royals are very active today on the pitching market. And, of course, they get the grandson of a Major League Baseball all-timer, Carl Yastrzemski's grandson, Mike Yastrzemski. Not quite the player, but yeah. But he's good against righties, left-handed. He's basically a left-handed Greek who that we'll see playing here. But Ryan Burgert and Stephen Kolek from San Diego were the pitchers that came over from the Padres. And the Padres have always wanted to do business with Kansas City. You know, shout out to the Padres. We do so many deals with San Diego, and they were very active today. Very, very active today.
Yeah, and I kind of like the way it, I think it kind of fell in the Royals' favor, this trade, huh?
No, it did. I mean, you know, I think
really
ESPN gave it like a B+ for the Royals.
Yeah, ceiling.
I think it's been an A just the last couple of days with Lugo and then this. I mean, they did what they could do.
I'd go B+.
They didn't want to trade their pitching prospects in Blake Mitchell and Carter Jensen, number one and two on the Royals' list. Mitchell's been banged up that hamate bone, but Carter Jensen, man, the Park Hill kid, he's number two. Prospect in the Royals organization, you know, now that Jack's up here, it's one and two, Mitchell and Jensen. He's already got 8 home runs up for AAA Omaha. I mean, one thing the Royals do have is a wealth of catching. And Freddie Fermin was the odd man out that they had to trade for pitching, but that's fine. As far as Burgert, I mean, this is a guy that, put it this way, He was a top 10 prospect for the Padres and their organization before he made his debut for San Diego, right? Do you know right now, the Royals, if you look up their top 30 prospects, because they're very fast with this. MLB is very fast with this. He's already the seventh. He's going to play for the Royals, but he's already the seventh best prospect in the organization. So basically, they went out and they get their seventh best prospect in the organization on a deal. That's good.
For giving up a backup catcher.
And it's team control with these guys.
That's right.
In the next 2 and 3 years with these guys. And they also get Stephen Kolek. He's 28, 4-5 with the 4.18 ERA. Again, not great shakes for that. I mean, you know, serviceable pitchers are guys you can use, you know, out of the bullpen. I think Burgert's going to be a guy that they have him. It's kind of a top 1-3 rotation type of guy. Oh, but they weren't done. Bailey Falter from the Pittsburgh Pirates, come on down. So the Royals make a move for him. They give up Evan Sisk and Callan Moss. But Falter's 28, 3.73 ERA, 3.7 ERA, 70 strikeouts, 1.18 whip across 22 starts for the Pirates this season. And Kolek, by the way, had a complete game this year against Colorado, which is insane doing it against that team. And then Mike Yastrzemski right there at the buzzer. So they did get one bat. It's not the end-all, be-all. You say the magic bat for the Royals.
It's not the bat we would have wanted, but for the back end of the order, I mean, you know,
they did what they could, because here's the thing. Pitching was carrying this team. I think there's no doubt about it. The pitching was carrying this team. And matter of fact, as they sit right now before they go to Toronto, their ERA is number 2 in Major League Baseball. Number 2 in the American League is Texas is higher. They're number 3 in Major League Baseball, just the starters. Number 3. That's insane. That's an elite pitching staff, right? Number 2 in the AL. Relievers a little bit different. 10th in Major League Baseball, 6th in the American League. But guys are hurt. Chris Bubich, who's the all-star from the rotation, he's down for the year. Michael Lorenzen's banged up. Cole Reagan's, you don't know when you're getting back, maybe until September. So something's going to falter. Although, you do have Lugo, you do have Waka, and you do have Noah Cameron. Those are studs. And you got these new guys from the Padres and Bailey Falter from the Pirates that could step in. I think it was a damn good day for the Royals.
Yeah, I think overall it was a good day. I'm sure a lot of us would have liked to have seen the big bat come in, or, you know, a bigger trade. But they made a lot of small moves that I think, while it didn't help their weakness, it did strengthen their strength.
No, they did. They strengthened their strength, and they had to do it because the guy's getting hurt. I mean, they had to keep this thing rolling.
And it helps for the future. You know, it helps for 2026 now.
It does. 2026.
Short-term, long-term, I think it's a win-win.
It might be a deal where the Royals didn't even look for pitching in the offseason. They can concentrate on bringing in a bat.
Bringing in a bat, exactly.
I just think it's great because it's a sign that, hey, they want to compete. Hey, they're not waving the white flag.
They didn't wave the white flag.
Because another team from this division, actually two teams from this division, have some issues. The Twins went fire sale today. The Twins went complete fire sale with their players. Correa's now back in Houston. Duran's gone. Their great closer is gone. And then, of course, you have Cleveland, which had two pitchers suspended, including Emmanuel Clase, suspended for gambling until at least August 31st. These aren't bad things to happen to the Royals. And by the way, Cleveland sits right in front of Kansas City for the third wild card. You think of these teams, and guess what? They're right there.
They are, but that's also what maybe scares me a little bit, that two teams that were essentially in front or right there with them decided to go the other route.
Well, the two teams in front of the Royals, the Rangers, and they made some deals today, too, for pitching. Their pitching is already fantastic. But Seattle and Texas are tied for the third wild card, right? So essentially, you have to look at
it. Seattle's loaded, man.
And Seattle finished one game behind the Royals last year. They did. They get Suarez, so they've been loaded up. Can the Red Sox hold on? We'll see. I think the Yankees will find a way to hang on and be there. But so you got Seattle and or Texas and Cleveland. That's it. That's all the teams that are in front of the Royals. The Royals 3 games back, Cleveland 2.5. But look for Cleveland.
Yeah, they'll fall back to the pack.
I mean, they lose a starter and they lost their all-star closer. Emmanuel Clase. I mean, they're going to be out for a while. So that's good news for the Royals as far as that is concerned. And they go out and they make moves. The Royals have been playing better baseball, too. The hitting's been good. They're fourth in runs now, you know, since the All-Star break. They've been They've been doing things they didn't. They still have the one nothing wins, right? That didn't go away.
Will they remain consistent is the question. Right?
But every once in a while, those bats wake up and they start moving some runners in. The other day, Isbell with the three-run double, things like that. But they're 15-9 in July. 15-9 in July. Three straight series wins. Yeah, they started off losing two out of three to the Miami. But then they won two of three against the Cubs, who had the best record in baseball when they beat them. Two out of three against Cleveland. And then two out of three against the struggling Braves, but they kept them struggling. They win two out of three. And now they go play Toronto that's been red hot.
This will be a good, I think this will be a good barometer for where the Royals are.
No, it will be. I couldn't be happier. I mean, that Lugo thing kind of set everything. Like, you knew kind of what the Royals were, intentions were.
For where they were going, correct.
When Seth, they didn't move Seth. Yep. They didn't wave the white flag. Because nobody likes to see your teams wave the white flag, which that would have been doing it. Getting rid of Lugo, in my opinion. That's
never
changed.
Every reason in the world to. I mean, with how this pitching staff has gone, injuries and such.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
Yeah, here was Ben Higgins. He was on the drive. He's from 97.3, the Fan in San Diego. This is the kind of the letter grade that he gave the Kansas City Royals on the moves from their perspective.
I'd say for the Royals, definitely like an A-. For the Padres, they really did need a catcher, so I'll give them a B for that. A little overpay, but I think for me, it's a good fit for them.
So the Padres get what they needed. The Royals clearly have that. But he gave it an A- for the Kansas City Royals. I've seen B+, A-, A, whatever you want to think about it. And Ryan Burgert was kind of the key in that move with the Padres. I know they get Colek too, but Burgert was the guy. He's got seventh in the Royal system. This is what Ben Higgins, who does sports radio out there in San Diego, said about Burgert.
Colek can be the other guy, Stephen Colek, in the trade. He can be a back of the rotation guy. I think right now, yeah, Burgert's probably a four. But I think, you know, as he develops and gets a little bit more mature, that he could get up to like a three or a two type guy. But I thought a Burgert for mean trade made a lot of sense. I think the Royals are doing well to get two starting pitchers in a market where, you know, starting pitching is so valuable. Not guys that you're hoping make it to the big leagues, but guys who have already pitched well on the big league level. So you have a confidence level that you're not just buying a lottery ticket. You're actually getting players that you can put in your rotation now. I think the Royals did really well in this trade.
Major league talent, major league ready talent to help the team now. Ben Higgins also talked a little bit more about Stephen Colek that the Royals are getting.
He'll give up a lot of singles and some hits, but he gets a lot of ground balls. I think he leads the league in getting double play grounders. So he gets into trouble. He gets out of trouble. A little dicier, but he's done a really good job with a sinker that's got good movement and induces a really high ground ball rate.
I mean, Carrington and Rob are on fire, man. Rob was just booking guests left and right because the Royals kept making moves. They just booked somebody else. I mean, from San Diego to Pittsburgh, you name it. Here was Adam Crawley from, again, 97.3 The Fan, San Diego and Pittsburgh, same deal. This is his report on Bailey Falter the Royals are getting for the rotation as well.
He's got deception in that delivery. And so for a guy who really doesn't throw super hard, sometimes can hit 94, 95, but usually sits around 91, 92. He'll get a strikeout in a key moment. Also, he's got three more years of control. He figures to be pretty cheap, and he's a serviceable fourth or fifth starter. And from the left side, I heard you say, I think you're right, worst case scenario with a guy like Bailey Falter is he's valuable long relief from the left side. I think he's a pretty good player, and he's had a great attitude. When he got to Pittsburgh, he had really struggled prior to his arrival. He struggled at the beginning portion of his Pittsburgh tenure, and he tweaked his delivery. He had a smiling face on. He was a good teammate, turned things around. And he's been one of the few bright spots, frankly, these last 2 years for the Pirates.
So you go some of the thoughts on some of the new arms for the Kansas City Royals. Of course, Mike Yastrzemski coming over as well. The funny thing about Yastrzemski is he is 34, all right? This is the one without really team control, Yastrzemski. But 330 on base percentage. And here's the other thing, too. He's got 47 walks. Jonathan India leads the Royals right now with 39 walks. 39 walks for India, 47 already for Yastrzemski. So it's a guy that gets on base, 330 on base percentage. It's an on-base guy. It's actually higher than India that they brought over here because of on-base percentage. He's at 328 that they brought over from Cincinnati. But this is good news for the Royals. I like these moves. Again, it's not the bat that you'd probably want. But is this good enough to get you into the postseason, or at least it's going to be a race, man? Seattle, Texas, both those teams got better. And both of them sit right in front of you now. And Cleveland sits barely in front of them. But let's face it, man. Cleveland's been hurt. Cleveland's been hurt. They've been hurt with these suspensions. So we'll see what goes on with them. But I truly believe it's going to be a race. Between watching the standings for Texas, Seattle, and Kansas City, they didn't wave the white flag. How excited are you? Our phone number, 913-586-7965. Also, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. How'd you feel about the Royals a week or so ago? How do you feel about them now that they're not waving the white flag and they're ready to compete for a wild card spot? And again, I don't want to hear it. Well, just making the wild card's not good enough. Well, it is. 2 years ago, the Rangers played the Diamondbacks in the World Series. Rangers were the number two wild card, and the Diamondbacks were the number three wild card. The Rangers, by the way, almost were the third wild card team. Only just one game separated them from being the third. So just get into the dance, man. Just get into the dance and see what happens. We have our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, joining us at about 6:30, kind of talk about these moves where the Royals stand, kind of what Josh thought about the trade deadline, what you think about the Royals and what it means for them going forward, what kind of message are they trying to send. But anyway, we'll digest a little bit more about these moves the Royals made today before talking to Vern at 6:30.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. Royals make some arm moves today and a bat as well. They acquired Ryan Burgert and Stephen Kolek from San Diego. Burger, by the way, is now the Royals' seventh prospect in the system. He's already playing Major League Baseball as well, so they made that move. They bring in left-handed pitcher Bailey Falter from Pittsburgh. Falter was 28 and posted a 3.73 this year, 70 strikeouts. So they've added some arms because of the injuries to Lorenzen. And Chris Bubich now gone for the year, and Cole Reagans may or may not come back in September. We'll find out. Josh Vernier at 6:30. We'll find out from that. And then Mike Yastrzemski, who's not good to wow you with the stats, just not that kind of guy. His on-base percentage, though, is on point, .330 on-base percentage, and the fact that he's got 47 walks, which would lead the Royals by 8 walks so far this season. So maybe not the bat that you're thinking, but they've scored better. They did have 12 runs. They've had 9 runs and things like this since the All-Star break. They have been hitting the ball out of the ballpark since the All-Star break. Things are looking better for this team on offense. Not the offense that you want to see, but fourth best in the American League, you know, since the All-Star break. So they've been getting better at that, and they should get better at that. I mean, you have Sal, had a scare the other night with the hand getting hit, but he's fine. Had the walk-off as well. Bobby Witt. Going to continue to get hot. Vinny Pasquantino is going to get hot. But Fermin was the big chip that they moved. But again, the Royals have plentiful pitching or catching in the minor leagues. Blake Mitchell, who's back now after hurting his hamate bone early on. And Carter Jensen, that's gone up through the system. The Park Hill grad already number two in the Royals prospect system. He's already up in Omaha and he has 8 home runs there. I would expect to see him sooner rather than later for the Royals, but they're making moves. And from the text line, 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913, disappointing that the Royals did nothing to improve their offense. Well, the offense to improve is going to have to come with the guys from within, and they have the guys that can do it. Don't forget, this team was the only team in baseball to have 3 guys over 70 ribs. Then the only team in baseball to have 3 guys over 80 ribs last year. And I get it. That was last year, not this year. 3 guys over 90 ribs and would have been the first team with 3 guys over 100, but Vinny got hurt with 97. So they have guys capable of doing this, young talent, and, of course, Salvador Perez that's starting to get hot at this point to be able to do things. Going to have to rely on them. And then you have the Randall Grichuk and Yastrzemski, you know, added in, lefty, right-handed pitching, go in, hit for the Royals, and you hope does well. I mean, the Royals have seen some of their guys they've called up actually start hitting well. John Ray, Lofton, better. Of course, that's not the end-all, be-all. But how can you be disappointed? How can you be disappointed in the Royals making moves? Because the Royals, people were thinking, all right, who are they going to get rid of? Is it Seth Lugo? You know, he's going to turn down his option next year. They got to move him, but what are they going to get for him? It's a two-month rental piece. Are the Royals actually going to get somebody or somebody that's going to falter around in the minor leagues and never make it to the pros? But can they do something to get somebody for now? Text line says, who's going to be our backup catcher now? Well, Luke Mele's here, you know, veteran player, but then Carter Jensen, probably getting ready to come up at some point. He's been going through the system. He's number two Royals prospect, Park Hill High School. He's been destroying things. But one thing the Royals do have, and that is catching. That is catching. And 816, love what happened today. But what happens to Cags? Cags will be fine. Once he gets healthy, he'll be back in there. And hopefully you get the Cags that you're all expecting for the Kansas City Royals. But think about where they were. On the cusp of trading Lugo. Then they give him more money. And they keep him. The Lugo extension, that's something that didn't happen in Kansas City. What happened in Kansas City is guys would be moved to traded line. You've seen it so many times with this team. You move players. This team made the postseason last year. It's disappointing. You're like, oh, man, they're sitting here losing a guy that was number two last year in the Cy Young. And your number four guy in last year's Cy Young has been hurt in Cole Reagans. But you just brought him back. And then instead of the Royals being like the Twins or the Diamondbacks, they get rid of everybody. You know, you don't have that. Baltimore. Baltimore's getting rid of everybody, too. I don't even see what they're doing. Even Ryan O'Hearn has been moved to Giants. They're moving everybody. And they were a team that's been playing better baseball. But your team is not one of those teams getting rid of players. They're adding players. They're adding players, and they're trying to win. That's the best news you can have for one of your teams, is them making moves and trying to compete. For a team that was going to be selling off Lugo and probably selling off prospects, they re-sign him and they go out and get other arms. Arms that could be good in the future. I mean, they got a guy that's now seventh in their system who's already playing at the major league level. But he's still considered prospect status. And Burger from San Diego. You can't go wrong with that. You got other pitchers that can kind of continue the way this pitching staff is going. You know, and thank you for Noah Cameron from St. Joe being this viable player that's come up and doing what he's doing. I mean, the guy honestly has American League Rookie of the Year numbers. I mean, Kurtz in Sacramento is probably going to get it, but still, you can't ask for anything more than he's given this team. And guys want to stay here. Like Seth Lugo and his family, they wanted to stay here. Kansas City, you win. You win because you're so welcoming and friendly to these guys. They want to stay here. They don't want to leave. And today, the Royals make moves. I mean, just passing all these tweets. Royals acquire, Royals acquire, Royals acquire. Not Royals sell off, Royals sell off, Royals sell off. This is something you're not used to seeing. And it's good, but all started with Lugo. That made him, that really sent a message that, hey, the Royals want to compete still. And they're not going to wave the white flag. They're three back right now. Again, Cleveland's 2.5 back. But Cleveland's got two of their pitchers, including their all-star closer, Emmanuel Clase, suspended at least until the end of August for a Major League Baseball gambling probe. That's not good for them. The Twins get rid of everybody. I mean, seriously. I'm surprised they haven't traded Henry at this point. I mean, they're just getting rid of everybody. So it's good news for the Kansas City Royals. It's going to be tough, though, because the Rangers and their pitching staff is not going anywhere, and Seattle's right in front of them. Seattle made a move for Suarez, bringing him back to Seattle. I really like him, Eugenio Suarez from the Diamondbacks. So, again, tough teams in front of them. I get it. But the Royals are ready to compete, man, and that's all you can ask for. Josh Vernier, our Royals insider from right here, for the last decade or so, done a great job covering the Royals. He will join us in a few to talk about these Royals' move today and what it means for the future. Next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts. Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. We have NFL football starting up in Canton, Ohio here. And just the backups going, but still it's football that's going to be going till January 15th. Yeah, you heard that right. Pinch yourself. We got football back on Thursday nights, man, till January 15th. But the Kansas City Royals making move after move today. Joining us now, our Royals insider from 96.5 The Fan, one Josh Vernier, who just was on the J.J. Piccolo press conference just a minute ago. What's up, Vern?
Not too much. How you doing?
Good. How's J.J. feeling today?
He's feeling good, right? When you add three pitchers and they're all under team control for the next few seasons,
that does
and
not
you
suck.
Already have Reagans and Cameron and Bubich and Lugo and Waka. Man, you love this team's ability to expect a division title in 2026. And I also think this organization now holds a lot of cards going into the offseason. So long as you feel good about Bubich's health, maybe if Cole Reagans can show you something going into the offseason, you know, who knows how this team could reshape its lineup with now its depth pitching-wise.
No question about it. So, you know, maybe they go in the next year. They don't need to add the arms. They can concentrate on bringing in a bat. I mean, there's a lot of good news for the Kansas City Royals. But what it mean to you, Vern, with the Lugo extension? Because to me, you know, as a lifelong Kansas City guy, a guy that, you know, followed the Royals inside and out, when you're used to these players being moved, they're team control, team option, whatever, they're going to turn it down or he's going to turn it down, they're going to trade him. And you're going to get a piece or whatever. That's what we're used to seeing. But with that extension, I was like, Royals mean business. And it showed today at the trade deadline. But I think that Lugo thing kind of signified the start of this whole deal, kind of what their mindset was as an organization.
Yeah, I think it reflects really well on Seth Lugo and John Sherman. Lugo, to me, left at least $14 million on the table. I think he could have had that third year guaranteed if he would have taken this thing to free agency. But he and his family are enamored with Kansas City, and getting $46 million guaranteed isn't too shabby either. But yeah, I think it reflects really well on John Sherman, because for a second straight season, there's been a point to where he could have turned to the fan base and said, hey, you know, what the hell do you want from me? Vinny's hurt. we lost our number three hitter. We're done. But no, he allowed J.J. to go out and bring in Yuli Gurriel and Robbie Grossman and Tommy Pham. And now, those guys weren't making boatloads of money, but it's still something that in the past, I think previous owners and many current owners of small market teams would throw their hands up and say, hey, what the hell do you want from me? It's not in the cards this season. We're moving on. Same thing happens with Reagans and Bubich being on the shelf. Knowing that you have this trade chip in Seth Lugo, it would have been easy to say, hey, you know, what the hell do you want from me? We're led by this rotation. 60% of it's on the shelf. We're waving the white flag. We're trading Seth Lugo. But John Sherman's willing to make a fair offer. You know, I mentioned Lugo leaving some money on the table, and while I believe that to be true, it's not as if they're getting an immensely team-friendly deal. The fact that the third year isn't guaranteed is nice, but the next two seasons, Seth Lugo's going to be handsomely paid and paid what he's worth. So it's a good deal on both sides. And I think it serves as another reminder that the new boss is not the same as the old boss. So we're not trying to speak ill of the deceased. We're not speaking down on Mr. Glass as much as we're speaking down on the owners in Minnesota and owners in Cleveland and the owners in Tampa and other small market teams that are willing to lightly dip their toe into the water, but not necessarily jump all in and pay their superstar like Bobby Witt Jr. Now the Guardians, They let Francisco Lindor leave. They float Stephen Kwan out there. You know, what's the ramification of that inside the clubhouse? The possibility that you were going to let, even if it was all smokescreen, still, that penetrates the clubhouse. How does that affect a Cleveland team that still has enough talent to grab that final wildcard spot, as they didn't have the selling type of day that many people were expecting? No, I think John Sherman continues to prove that for as much as we're going to act like a small market team and try and draft and develop the same way that they do in Milwaukee and Cleveland and Tampa, we're also going to put our own spin on it. We're not babies here. We're not a minor league farm system for the Yankees and the Dodgers. No, we're going to compete with the big boys, and if you perform for us, we'll make you a fair offer, a reasonable offer that you'll at least have to consider. You know, the guys that you're talking about, Damon, Dye, Beltran, even a Eric Hosmer, Lorenzo Cain, those weren't offers that they were going to listen to, what the Royals made to those teams. No, they knew that the money they could make elsewhere would make the Royals offer look ridiculous. That's not the case with Bobby or Waka. That's not the case with Seth Lugo. And I would imagine this offseason, whoever they end up bringing in, they'll make another good offer, but also one that benefits the Royals in the long run. No, it's another shining day, a shining week for this ownership group and this front office as they continue to show that this is a team that can compete year in and year out, which is all I think most Royals fans have ever wanted.
No, I'm with you, Vern. And it's one thing when you send a message to the fans. That's one thing. But it's another thing when you send a message to that clubhouse.
Sure.
And just like when Vinny was talking about hoping it's not the last time they see Lugo, you know, when he pitched in Chicago, hoping they'll see him again in the Kansas City Royals uniform, that means a ton to those guys. And those guys are the ones you're going to have to count on. And then when they hold that plane on the tarmac today before it leaves to Toronto, just to make sure no deals are going down or whatever, which was really sent, you know, good messages to the team. When they start seeing this, and you know they're on Twitter, everything else, looking at all these moves the Royals are making. But the moves today that the Royals made through pitching and Yaz coming, that has to mean something. You put that in the Lugo thing. You do mention Cleveland. That's a team with two pitchers now suspended for the next month at least in Clase and Ortiz. That's bad. Minnesota sold everybody. I wonder what that means in their clubhouse to a lot of those guys. So I just look at kind of the Royals clubhouse now and what these guys had to be thinking. His ownership said, we're giving you stuff you need to compete, and I think that's a huge message.
Yeah, no doubt. To see Bailey Falter walk in that clubhouse, Mike Yastrzemski come through that clubhouse, the pair of right-handers that you acquire from the San Diego Padres, again, it's a message from the front office, yes, but to me it's a louder message from ownership of, you know, I believe in you. Here's some reinforcements. Go get them, because this upcoming road trip is going to be no picnic. Three in Toronto, three in Boston. And then, sure, you'll have a chance to beat up on the carcass of the Minnesota Twins. But the way that this team has been scoring since the All-Star break, winning homestand, back-to-back series, or three straight series victories now, to go on top of this sort of encouragement from ownership, wins should be at the backs of these Royals players. Now they need to go out there and get above 500.
A nice 15-9 month of July for the Kansas City Royals. And Vern, when you think about some of these players that they got, and you know, you think about this rotation. Now Lorenzen's banged up, you got Cole Reagans, and who knows if he'll pitch again this year. And you had Ryan Burgert and Stephen Kolick from the Padres. Here's the one thing about Burgert. He's already the Royals' seventh best prospect. The MLB pipeline doesn't waste any time. It's got to him as a number seven prospect for the Royals. Of course, he's already at the major league level as well. And you got Yaz right there at the deadline from the Giants. His batting average not going to wow anybody, or his home run totals or anything else. His on-base percentage should. And the fact he's got 47 walks, which already leads the Royals by eight.
And he's a hell of a defender as well.
No question.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, him and Randall Grichuk, you know, serving as a soft platoon out there in right field makes the team better. You know, for people that were hoping for a big splash, my response is, has this team earned a big splash? Meaning, has this 2025 team earned parting with something that you truly prize, something that you think is a game changer in the near future. Now, what are those game changers? Carter Jensen, that might be it. So if we're talking about bringing in a big middle of the lineup bat that changes the way you feel about this offense, you, in my opinion, you really only had that one piece, a guy that's close to the big leagues that a bad team could trot out to their fans and say, hey, but look, I know our season sucks, but look, we have this 22-year-old monster that stole the show at the Futures game in Carter Jensen. So listen, if people want to be disappointed in the day, that's surprising to me, because for a team that's below 500 to be as active as they were to rebuild their rotation in the fashion that they did, to me, you should be excited about it, Bank. You now have not only a rotation this season, but like I mentioned, you hold the cards this offseason to possibly improve your offense. Again, look at the 26-man roster. Mike Yastrzemski probably bumps MJ Melendez off. We all agree that you're better with that decision. Steven Kolick and Bailey Falter and Ryan Berger, you know, these are guys that are going to lop Thomas Hatch off of the roster. Jonathan Bolin back to AAA. Your team just got stronger. Maybe it's not, you know, the top 10 players on the team has not changed. Maybe the top 12 players on the team has not changed. But the 26 guys inside that clubhouse are certainly better off right now than they were 48 hours ago.
Yeah, I think the message it sends the players is astronomical. What it did for the Royals, they just added these pieces. I know they're probably, you know, sad to see Freddie go, but they knew it's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm with them.
The Royals,
I love Freddie.
Yeah,
for me.
Freddie was awesome. Freddie was a consummate pro, just an awesome, awesome dude. No question about it.
But I think people want to see Salvi stick around more.
Sure.
And if Salvi's sticking around next season, then you're really acknowledging that Freddie's a backup. So if you can, and you know this, Bink, if you can get two pitchers for a guy that this season and next you view as no more than a part-time catcher, you have to do that deal. To me, that's a deal that the Royals weren't necessarily shopping Freddie Freeman, but that's one of those, the phone rings, you listen, and you say, wow, that's an offer I can't refuse. Done and done.
No question. And the fact is, they know the backup catcher is going to be a local kid. This town loves the local guys. Carter Jensen from Park. Yeah. Hopefully Carter Jensen.
Well, Luke Maley's going to hold it down, I would imagine,
for
the rest of this season.
For now, yeah.
And I do think there is a conversation. Sure, yeah, no doubt. I do think there's a conversation to be had. Salvi, obviously outstanding here in the month of July. One of the best hitters in all of Major League Baseball. Batting .337 in the month of July. 21 RBIs in 24 games. Losing Freddie means that's more Salvi behind the dish. I do have a concern of how much can I rely on Salvi's bat over the final 53 games. If he's going to be catching more, do I have to expect those numbers in July to come back down to earth somewhat? And I think I do.
It looks like Blake Mitchell, their number one prospect. Carter Jensen's number two, by the way. Both catchers, number one and two in the organization. Looks like Blake's back from injury from that hammy bone. So that spells
he's reached base safely in 14 of his last 15 games.
So Blake Mitchell, Carter Jensen on the horizon for the Royals. Carter real close as he's in AAA now, tearing the cover off the ball, the poor Kilgred. But anyway, Vern,
you'd like to think he's on your team opening day next year, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. Can't go wrong. Local kid on there, man. It's going to be a popular
lefty
guy.
Lefty bat, too. Great
I'm telling you, man. This town will love him. The town will love him.
No doubt about it. And then you hear him talk. I had him on my spring training show this season, and the text line was saying, man, that guy speaks like Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he sounds like him somewhat.
Well, he's been watching him forever because he's a local guy.
That's what I'm saying is he grew up emulating Salvi and Patrick Mahomes, and now he's going to have a chance to share some of the spotlight with those two in Kansas City.
That's awesome. So I assume I'll probably play the JJ here later so we can get a little more, grease on some of the players they traded for. But I assume that the Royals front office was all smiles.
Oh, yeah, without question, as they should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this was one of the best trade deadlines I can remember. As busy, for some teams, I'm sure, disappointing. Could you imagine being a Pirates fan? Oh, my gosh.
Paul Skeens, that's all you got.
Yeah, and if I'm Paul Skeens, I'm pulling a Zach Greinke. Get me the hell out of here. What's the point?
Well, they're all in on the Steelers.
So I'm glad that the Royals are doing deals with the Pirates because they've been being fleeced by other teams for a decade and a half. And J.J. Piccolo's been red hot since taking over the role as general manager. And you look at the three deals that he made today, I don't see how the Freddie Fermin deal backfires. To me, that's a can't-miss trade. Even if those guys aren't stars, you have them under control for the next few seasons. And like I mentioned, you view Freddie as a backup. And I think we all agree he's better than a backup. I will be interested to see if he gets exposed with more playing time in a new league as he's trying to learn a new pitching staff. It's putting him in somewhat of a tough spot. But I don't think that deal with San Diego could possibly be regrettable. Same with Bailey Falter. You're giving up a first baseman that sure has shown some power at the high A level, but he's a first baseman. I think you're set on first baseman Jack Caglione. I don't think the deal with the Pirates could possibly backfire. Now, if Junior Marte, the hard-throwing 6'5", 21-year-old that you sent to San Francisco, if he turns into a player, okay, yeah, possibly we could lament that fact in 3 or 4 or 5 years from now. But to me, the Mike Yastrzemski deal is a reflection of an organization that is going for it, in quotes, you know, again, not parting with anything that they truly prize, but parting with the guy that is as quality as Junior Marte. That is a for the fans type of move. Put the best team on the field for the rest of 25 because you're likely going to lose, yes, at the end of the season. But this is a further press down on the gas pedal move for the city, for the fan base, and for the competitors that run this organization.
And it helps have this pitching staff. I mean, you know, in football, you always want that elite quarterback. This pitching staff is number two in baseball in ERA. That's elite. If you're number two this far, and I get it, the injury's concerned, but they restocked that. But again, if you're number two,
and that's wild, isn't it?
But if you're number two,
isn't it wild that they? Yeah. But a lot of that is Chris Bubich.
I get it.
And he's gone.
You're
right, though. I mean, I hesitate to say they restocked and replaced Cole Reagans and Chris Bubich. I don't think that's possible. But Hunter Harvey's back, and suddenly those games are 5 innings long with Harvey, Urseg, Estevez, and a combination of Schreiber, Cruz, and Zerpa in the sixth inning. So now suddenly Lugo, Waka, Cameron, yeah, give me some frames. You know, give me six strong every time you guys take the ball. But those other 2 days, when you have a Falter on the hill, when Kolek takes the ball, when Berger gets his start, to me, give me 5 innings and a chance to win, and we'll hand it off to this bullpen. So your point is correct. Even though the pitching staff is dealing with some injuries, it's still one of the top 10 pitching staffs in the sport.
Yeah, Vern's Booth's going to be rocking, man.
Heck yeah, tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow I got a chance to catch up with the Royals CEO, John Sherman. I'm going to have a
nice
one-on-one interview with him tomorrow afternoon. You'll hear it at 5 o'clock on the On Deck Show.
Awesome. Awesome stuff, Vern. Good talking to you, my friend. We'll talk soon. Good day for everybody. Good day.
No doubt about it, Bank. Appreciate you having me on.
There you go. Josh Vernier, our Royals insider right there. It was a good day. It was a good day. And what it means to those players, yeah. We'll finish talking about the Royals the next segment before I move on to the Kansas City Chiefs. Had a day off, but some stuff still bothers me, Julio, what people are saying nationally. And, of course, you know I'll talk about it. We'll finish up talking about the Royals next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. Chief Inclay, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. Good day for Kansas City, Julio. It's the only other way to put it. Spread on Vern. Vern's happy now, man. Well, Vern's been happy anyway, but Vern's Booth. You seen Vern's Booth? I saw Vern's Booth at the stadium. It's awesome.
I have not checked it out yet.
Vern's been everywhere. He's been in the press box level. That's where our broadcast center is. Gate A left field and that trailer for years.
Hey, I was a fan of that trailer.
It was awesome.
It was pretty awesome.
I was too. That's where I was when I was doing the insider stuff, was out there for that. Then he's been at Craft and Draft. Now he's got his own Vern's little booth, right? It's absolutely perfect. But the Royals make moves. And it means so much. Seth Lugo, when he pitched in Chicago, Vinny and the players were talking about, you know, how nice it'd be to keep Lugo. They knew the writing was on the wall. The worst thing is one of your teammates gets traded that you know that can help you get to the promised land, and you see them walk out that door. They don't like that. Like the Twins looking around, watching all their players leave. They don't like that. But the Royals added new players into the system. And who knows what's going to happen. That way, not many people get off that plane. They held that plane at KCI till 5:30, wait till the trade deadline leave before they headed off to Toronto. Makes it very difficult to move guys. You know, they just get traded off the team, off the plane, go through customs and all that out of Canada. So I get that. Not exactly a perfect game to go play. Toronto, right? But at least it's right after the trade deadline. Look at this, Julio. The weather even got cooler. Mid-90s. Was hotter than hell.
I sat outside today and just enjoyed the weather.
I mean, the Chiefs have been out there hot as hell this week. They did wear the shorts yesterday, off today, be refreshed for Saturday and Sunday. Well, they'll practice tomorrow. But Saturday and Sunday, that'll be the last two weekend practices. Because they already had one. They'll have Saturday and Sunday. And then the following week is preseason football.
That's right.
Game number one.
It's here.
And then they got a few days of camp left. They'll have Military Appreciation Day. They'll wrap up camp, and they'll come back to Kansas City once they get that first preseason game and have a few more days out at St. Joe practicing. But we have NFL football beginning here in 5 minutes, the Hall of Fame game. Little Chargers, little Detroit action, little Trey Lance action. No Herbert. No Herbert today, no Goff today. It's backups.
It's still worth it to watch.
It'll be nice. It'll be nice seeing these guys in position battles going on. And a lot of the starters not playing, of course, but it is the fourth preseason game, the first of four for these teams. That normally, since the NFL moved it down to three, it used to be five, man. Because if you would already have four, and if you're playing Hall of Fame game, you'd have five. But now it's at least back to four for them, but they won't play in it anyway. Preseason's definitely changed. Preseason has changed who plays their players, who doesn't. You saw bad things happen last year when Hollywood got hurt. So bad things can happen in preseason. We got preseason football coming up. But trade deadline is now done. Major League Baseball, you don't have to sweat it anymore. You're going to lose players. You're going to wave the white flag. Because certainly, I believed had Lugo been moved, that would have been a white flag. But they re-signed him. So didn't have to worry about him. On trade deadline day, they bring in three arms that can help this team. Bring in Yaz, kind of a supplemental player that can be a fourth outfielder for you. Somebody does get on base. The team has been hitting better since the All-Star break. They have three straight series wins. I mean, that's been good for the Kansas City Royals. Yes, they still won a game the other day, 1-0 walk-off hit by Salvador Perez. But at least they've had a 12-run game. They've had a 9-run game. So they've been scoring better. And you would think so with this talent on this team. Find a way to score.
The 1-run games have been fewer and fewer. I mean, as long as they continue to make that trend, you know, they might catch a lightning in a bottle.
But as I mentioned, the Vertner, in football,
catch in the wild card race.
But in football, Julio, we always want the lead arm, right? You want the elite arm. But right now, the Royals number two in all of Major League Baseball in team ERA. As far as the starters, number two in the American League, number three in all of baseball, just from the starters. I get it. Bubich is out. Lorenzen, they're going to find a way to try to replace him. It's very tough to replace Chris Bubich. The guy's been unreal this year, but you still got Waka, you got Lugo, and you got Noah Cameron, and you got the Royals' number seven prospect in the system already up with this team. 15-9 in July, three straight series wins, won three of the four series since the All-Star game, been putting the ball over the fence. Then you had the nine pitchers tie a Major League Baseball record for, no runs the other day when they win 1-0. So there's some good things with this baseball team. J.J. Pecola spoke tonight. I'll bring you that later. Obviously, Vern sent that in to us, so we'll have that for you, and we'll play that later. It was a Zoom call that J.J. Pecola had with the reporters about the Royals trade deadline deals, and they can fill you in exactly how he expects to use the talent that he just acquired today for the Kansas City Royals. It is nice to say talent acquired. And you gave a few prospects. Who knows what happens to them? We see it all the time. Prospects pan out sometimes. Most of the times they don't. You did get rid of Freddie Fermin, but again, Royals have a pipeline of catching talent, including Carter Jensen, was in the Futures game right here from Park Hill High School, who already has 8 home runs up in AAA since making the move. So that's probably will be the catcher in 26, the backup catcher, get a lot of time, obviously. But Perez will be doing a lot more catching now with Melee still here on the roster. So we'll talk about that later as we go on. But coming up next, Kurt Warner had some awesome things to say about the Chiefs, and I'm glad he said them, because more and more people, man, they keep downing this football team, and I can't believe it. I really, really can't believe some of the things said about the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.